Welcome to Nachyomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schupp, and today we'll start learning Sefer Iyov, the Book of Job, a captivating and troubling book that offers us to examine the foundations of our faith and relationship with Hashem. The Tanakh depicts revelations of the Creator in nature and in human history. It describes Hashem's encounters with a few chosen individuals, and it provides divine guidance and laws for those who've sought to abide and who were therefore chosen to live under Hashem's protection. In addition, the Tanakh includes the thoughts and feelings of several wise and inspired human beings who share their life experiences and ruminate about the purpose and meaning of human existence as they seek to understand what is beyond their immediate sensory perception. The Book of Iyov seems to grapple with our understanding of God as the source of both light and darkness, and our search for understanding human nature and the purpose of mortal man in a confounding universe. This book consists of 42 chapters, at the heart of which are the series of discussions that examine the questions of inexplicable suffering of the innocent and the problem of evil. The heart of this book is framed by a prologue in the first two chapters and an epilogue in the last chapter, written in lyrical prose. The opening verse reads almost like the opening of a fairy tale, once upon a time in the land of Oz. So it's not surprising that an anonymous sage cited in the Talmud, Baba Vatra, declares, Iyov lo haya velo nivra, Ela Mashal Haya. There was no Iyov. Iyov was never created. It is but a parable. Whereas all other sages declare, Iyov Haya Venivra, Iyov was and he was created. Indeed, the prophet Yechezkel mentions three men of antiquity who were perfectly righteous. Noach, Dan-El, not to be confused with Daniel, the Jewish youth taken into captivity by the Babylonians to serve in the court of Nebuchadnezzar. And finally, Iyov. And therefore, Reish Lakish asserts that there was a real Iyov, but the story and the dialogues presented in this sefer are a parable. Psikta Rabbati indicates that whatever happened to Iyov happened to Tzion. And the dilemma of tzaddik viralo, of the suffering of the righteous innocents, is not limited to one individual or to the few. The fact that Iyov is praised as Yireh Elokim and not Yireh Hashem suggests that the historic Iyov may have been a Noahide, as were his friends, and they were not descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who had directly experienced Hashem's presence and protection. Thus, the problems addressed in this book are universal and apply to all human beings. Some suggest that Iyov lived at the time of Avraham Avinu. And like Avraham and his family, Iyov was one of the ancient people of the East. Others argue that he was among the Jews that returned from the Babylonian exile. His identity is a matter of dispute, as is the issue of the authorship of this book. The Braita suggests that this book was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, while other sages indicate that the book was written by the prophet Yechezkel ben Buzi, or his contemporary, in Babel. In any event, the author is willing to wrangle with a dilemma that every believer, sooner or later, must confront. A basic premise of monotheistic thought is that the creator of all reality needs to be the paradigm of justice and morality. Thus, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, Hatzur tamim poalo, kichol drachav mishpat, el emuna ve'en avel, tzadik ve'yashahu. Unlike the believer in one God, the pagan was not troubled by the injustice or a chaotic universe. He explained the absurdity of suffering by conceiving of many capricious gods, each with its own circumscribed domain of power, who fought one another for supremacy. Some of those forces or gods were benevolent and others hostile, and the pagan did not expect justice from the way his gods managed the universe. On the other hand, Avraham Avinu, who understood that the one God willed all the forces of nature, expected that the ultimate judge, who created the heavens and the earth, would reward those who obeyed divine morality and would distinguish between the good and the evil. And therefore he dared challenge God. Hashofet kol ha'aretz lo yaseh mishpat. Would the judge of all of the earth not do that which is just? While Avraham advocated for others, he humbly saw himself as afar va'efer, nothing more than dust and ashes, expecting nothing in return for his loyalty to Hashem. Avraham proved to be the great believer whose obedience to Hashem's will was tested 10 times and culminated in the ultimate test of faithfulness at the Akedah, such that Hashem explains why he had chosen Avraham, who had proven beyond a shadow of a doubt, Ki ata yadati ki yireh Elokim ata. So it's no small thing that Iov is also praised as a God-fearing man. Today we will examine the first chapter, which opens with a description of the protagonist. Ish haya be'eretz utz Iov shmo, v'haya ha'ishahu tam v'yashar, v'yireh Elokim v'sar mira. There was a man in the land of Oz, and his name was Iov. The objective narrator seems to be unequivocal about Iov's virtue. Tam v'yashar, perfect and upright, who was also yireh Elokim v'sar mira. He was God-fearing and shunned evil. Moreover, his virtue was well rewarded, for he had 7 sons and 3 daughters and owned livestock, 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen and 500 donkeys, all in multiples of 10, and many servants, and was deemed the greatest of all of the people of the East. His children lived in blissful harmony with one another, and his 7 sons would alternate, hosting the others as well as their 3 sisters on a regular basis. Fearful that their prosperity and life of ease might corrupt his children, Iov would bring burnt offerings at the end of every 7-day cycle to atone for any sinful thoughts his children may have had. Iov was mindful of the warning written in Devarim in the 8th chapter, Achalta v'sabata, Hishamer lecha pen tishkach et Hashem, ואמרת בלבבך, כוחי ועוצם ידי עשה לי את החיל הזה. Iov was concerned that his children may have become haughty, assuming that their prosperity was a product of their hard work and natural talents. After the idyllic description of Iov and his family, the curtain is momentarily drawn upon a scene in the heavenly court, in which God sits in judgment of humanity, surrounded by his angels, when the Satan, not the devil, or an alternate independent power, but merely one among God's courtiers, who serves as the prosecutor, gives his report after traversing the earth and its human inhabitants. God asks him, Hasamta libcha alavdi Iov? Did you see my servant Iov? Ki ein kamohu ba'aretz, there's none like him on earth. Ish tam v'yashar, yireh Elokim v'sar mera. Echoing what our objective narrator has already told us, God affirms that Iov is good. The Satan is not a liar, and he has no blind hatred of Iov. Instead, he sounds like a hyper-rationalist who has a cynical judgment of humanity, and he refuses to accept God's assertion that there is none like Iov on earth. as he sarcastically asks, "Hachinam yare Iyov Elohim?" Do you really think that Iyov is God-fearing for naught? The Satan does not believe in morality, in the human capacity to do what is good and righteous, and that our notions of virtue are merely sugarcoating expedient behavior that is premised on you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. The Satan suggests that Iyov's virtue and faithful obedience to God's laws are merely self-serving responses to the manifold blessings with which he has been endowed. Should God take away his prosperity, his children, his social status, Iyov would abandon his faith and blaspheme God. Hashem allows the Satan to test Iyov by striking his family and his property in a series of calamities that leave him bereft and in mourning. Our classic commentaries differ in their evaluation of Iyov before disaster strikes. Rashi seems to lend some credence to the Satan's argument and says that Iyov was indeed tam v'yashar in his interpersonal relationships, but adds that Yireh Elokim v'sar mera should be translated as he feared God and therefore avoided doing evil. Iyov was afraid of God's punishment, as evidenced by his habitual sacrifices, coming from his dread that it would all be taken away if he does not appease his Creator. Iyov feared God, but did not love him. Sforno argues that Tam v'Yashar indicates that before Iyov was tested, his lifestyle reflected a blind following of tradition. Hitherto, he had never cultivated a search for meaning, nor developed a personal relationship with Hashem. He didn't need to, until disaster hit. Yireh Elokim v'sar mera indicates that Iyov had been essentially a dualist. He believed in the God who brings bounty and blessing, and also in a malicious, evil God who needs to be avoided. His rage, as he expressed it in later chapters, is that the good God did not rescue him from the demonic force. In time, Iyov will learn that the same God that had showered him with goodness is the one that also allowed the destruction and devastation. He would learn that Midas Hadin and Midas Harachamim are two aspects of the one and only God. On the other hand, Malbim asserts that the first verse establishes Iyov's virtue unequivocally and removes any rational reasons for the suffering to which he is subjected. Iyov's integrity and way of life were upright and wholesome. His healthy family life and social standing bespoke a man who followed both religious and conventional morality. It seems that Iyov's forbearance, his silent acceptance of the loss of his children and his wealth, is a testimony to his hitherto unrealized potential. His words at the end of this chapter indicate a deep-seated faith, not merely in Elohim, a distant and impersonal creator, but in a loving, caring, personal Hashem. Iyov maintains his stature as a moral actor, even when he cannot make sense of God's judgment. Vayomer, Arom yatzati mi beten imi, ve'arom ashuv shama, Hashem natan, ve'Hashem lakach, yehi shem Hashem mevorach. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed is the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrongdoing. Thank you for learning with me today. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat, Rose Foreman, Rachel Rochel Bat Aryeh Leib, and for Rachel Zeitlin, Rochel Bat Shlomo, Alehen HaShalom.